Wow, what a great song. How many of y'all have had those questions? I know I'm not holy. How about you all? Anybody, when you look at the holiness of God, we all stand in the same place, don't we? How many of y'all can get real self-righteous in comparison to God? How many of y'all have ever run that comparison? Most of us do what? We do this one right here. Well, I'm better than so-and-so down the road now. Or if you live in Kentucky, you've heard this. Well, I ain't never done that. You know, that's real bad. I've done some things, but I've never done what? That. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Listen, I got a question, and everybody's been really cooperative today, okay? They've been really cooperative answering this question, okay? What are you full of? I want you to check it out today. What are you full of? Just go ahead and ask your neighbor that question. What are you full of? Come on, just let them. Now, y'all asked that a lot louder than the other two services did, yeah. What are you full of? Now, what if I was to tell you guys that everybody in here who has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, now, no, I did qualify that, that has a what? Yeah. That means you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. You realize he's the way to salvation. You realize he's the one doing the forgiving. You're full of this. But strangely, Leonard Bailey, strangely, most people don't want to be full of this. Now, people like being full of power. They like being full of riches. They like being full of recognition. They like all that stuff. But very few human beings are really full of this. But yet, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're full of this. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're full of this. You ready? Let's go to the 8th chapter, 6th verse. 8th chapter, 6th verse. Acts. How is God's acts in the world? What are they displaying? Now, it's interesting. A lot of people like to talk about Christian maturity. I would suggest to you that Stephen, a man full of God's grace. Full of what?
God's grace.
Oh, now tell your neighbor, I'm full of grace. Oh, that was weak. I mean, that was like reaching the levels of totally pathetic. Okay? Tell them, I'm full of God's grace. Now, hold on. I'm going somewhere this today. If we were full of God's grace, if we truly were full of God's grace, now I know what Stephen's recognized, that scripture very detailed here. Full of God's grace. Well, man, it's got me thinking of how many other things we want to be full of other than God's grace, especially in the Christian community. Uh-oh. Uh-oh is right, Tyler. Some of us are impressed that we're full of knowledge. However, the Bible calls those Gnostics. I mean, especially now, we got people just waiting to give somebody that little special nugget that they read in the commentary that nobody else ever heard about so that they might look what? Smart. Some of you who are going into ministry, I want to encourage y'all, at least hear it from a street preacher. Nobody's impressed with your education because if you got enough money, anybody can go to school. What they follow is God's grace, because only God can give you that. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, how come you don't do the Greek words and the Hebrew things? I said, because most people don't do Greek and Hebrew in my culture. God's called me to communicate, not to try to impress. I said, Jesus didn't speak heaven to people. He used the language they knew. And I'm sure he knew how to speak heaven, don't you? And I'm sure if Jesus had started using some heaven language, everybody would have been in meltdown going, ooh and ah and wah. But you see, Jesus was a God full of what?
Grace.
Grace. And Jesus came here so that you might know the grace of God, the glory of God, the hope of God, the mercy of who?
God.
Man, y'all are on today. So I want you to get a picturesque challenge here. Well, what happened in the world today if those who follow Christ were truly the people full of God's grace? Full of God's grace. Note that. What would my life be like if I was willing to yield to the grace that is already in me? Does that change the way you're married? Does that change the way you're parenting? Does that change the way you're living out in your career? Does it change? But it's interesting. Stephen was noted right off the bat, a man full of God's what? Grace. Then it led to the next stuff. And power, and did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Now, here's what I find in our American culture. We want miraculous signs among the people, but we're not too keen on full of God's grace. There's an order here. What caused the miraculous signs were what? Grace, God. It starts with God. It stays with God. It finishes with guess who? And the best way for us to know God is know who? Jesus. God in flesh. Because what do we know a lot about? Flesh. How many of y'all know earth stuff pretty good? How many of y'all got earth stuff down? Hey, let me give you some earth stuff. How many of y'all have had your feelings hurt? Earth stuff. How many of y'all feel like sometimes, man, I just don't know if I'm going to get through the day? Earth stuff. Here's what God's stuff says. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's God kind of stuff. That's full of grace kind of stuff. Now, Stephen, a man full of grace, God's grace, did great and wondrous miraculous signs among the people. Now, let me stop there just a moment. And I want you to go ahead and tell your neighbor and say, guess what? You will do something great. Come on, just go ahead and tell them. Y'all speaking, you will do something great. Elizabeth, you'll do something great. Elizabeth, you've already done something great. You married me. That's great. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's what I did great. We did something great. How many of y'all done, watch this. How many of y'all have great things happen every day? Deanna, they do, don't they? We talked about that one day a few years back. There's something great happening every day. You ever thought of it like that? When you're having a bad day, somebody's having a great day. But why don't you see the great day? Because you're what? You're so focused on your bad day. How many of y'all get so focused on your bad day that you never see the day? You never see God's grace. We're not full of God's what? Grace. Now, hold on. Follow me here, man. I tell you what. God began to speak. There's moments when you get ready to speak to the people that I love, and that's you all, that God says, make sure they get this. It's about being full of God's grace. Now, here's what I want you to know. How many of y'all have ever gotten upset when you were doing a good thing and people didn't like it? Every parent ought to have their hand up. If you've been a parent and you are parenting, how many of you all find this happens in parenting? You want the best thing for your child. You're telling them the best thing and they're resisting it. Have any of y'all ever had that happen in parenting? Huh? How many of y'all found now let's reverse it. When you were a child, how many of you all ever had your mom and dad, they were trying to get you to do the best thing and you married that person anyway? Huh? How many of y'all had this attitude? I will show my parents that I know what's best. My father, I was very fortunate. I grew up with a man full of God's grace and full of God's wisdom. And here's what's amazing about my dad. He's still around. He's an intellectual powerhouse. You know, he like graduated first in his class, but he never fronted that. He was always full of grace, not full of what he knew. Follow this, but full of who he knew. Amen. Boy, does that not change the world? Yes. What if we were more full of who we knew instead of what we know? Would that not change our course in our position of corresponding to life? I don't know about you, but our politicians fight a lot. Have y'all noticed that? I mean, this thing's a mess, and it's a mess. But then I thought about it. We really can't expect it to be anything but a mess. You know why? Because everybody's demanding their perspective.
Or their way.
Or their way. Exactly right, Tyler. They're demanding their way. Now, think about it. And God help us in the name of Jesus. This never happened in his church. When we all start demanding our perspective, then we lose grace.
Uh-oh.
I'm not saying you lose your salvation. You lose your understanding of what it means to be graceful. Some of us are so convinced that our interpretation is infallible, we become really messed up. One day we're all going to get to heaven, and guess what we're going to find out? None of us were as smart as we thought we were.
Amen.
And guess what God is? He is the God of all things, and He gave every one of us grace, especially those of us who thought we had it figured out. Amen. And we'll find out that those who were very humble and say, you know, I don't know a lot, but I know Jesus is my Lord, were probably the ones walking in the greatest reward and probably the most mature of all. God's grace. Well, here's what I want to warn you about. If you start living in grace, don't expect the world to start cheerleading. In fact, guess what the world does with grace? They oppose it. Because you know what grace does? It changes people that aren't supposed to be changed. Ah! People get angry when those who aren't supposed to make it, make it. You want to see this country get tore up crazy? Let poor people be set free. See, we like the poor right where they are. That's why we're willing to write them a check every 2 weeks to keep them right where they are. And we do it in the name of hope. But it sounds good, doesn't it, Sarah? I mean, it's huggy, it's fuzzy, it's wonderful, it's quick, it's simple, and it makes me the God of the moment. It's that old thing that keeps repeating itself. Have no other gods before me. We've done it for centuries, millenniums. We don't want to be full of grace. We want to be full of perspective. We don't want to be full of grace. We want to be full of our information. We don't want to be full of grace. We want to be full of something else. But you know what the world yearns for, hopes for, and is asking for? Where are the people that are full of grace? Not full of a political position, not full of their standard, but full of God's grace, power, and miracle ability. You know where some of them are? In this room. Because y'all have been filled by who?
Jesus.
Now, people get angry. Now, listen, I know y'all think I ride this horse all the time. John Paul, people think I ride this horse. They send me emails, you ride this horse all the time. It's in the Bible all the time. I mean, what do y'all want me to do? God is not into religious people. And if you're one of them, He's not into you. Because let me tell you what really ticks God off is when you think you know more than He does. This is not a good position to be in with God. And I've had colleagues of mine that try to tell God what He wrote. Aaron, that would be a great movie. I mean, how crazy are we? Well, God, I know you said this, but you meant that. And He goes, oh, really? So now you're going to tell me what I wrote and what I meant. You see, you got to be careful, guys, because here's what God says. He blesses the humble. Now, let me tell you what humility is. It's realizing, Jesus, you're the only way to heaven. That's humble. Okay, God, you're going to save me. That's what? That's humble. See what I'm saying? And this is proud. I'm going to do it my way. You get that Elvis Frank Sinatra song going on in your head. Y'all remember? Sinatra did it first, then Elvis did it. You know the song, don't you, Lynn? Not that you were like, well, you were close. Look here. You know? I did it what? Now, let's think about Elvis. Fat, dead, at 50, on a toilet. I ain't busting on Elvis. I mean, I like, you know, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. Jailhouse rock, my blue suede shoes, and suspicious minds. And Elvis got a house over at Graceland, but his house won't get you to the house. And so many times, instead of being full of God's grace, we're full of our own stuff. And here's what we tend to do. If we're going to live in God's grace, religious will oppose it. People get mad. People get mad at me all the time. You know why? I believe poor people don't have to stay poor. I believe if you don't have a job, you can get a job.
Amen.
I believe if you don't have hope, you can receive hope. I believe if you feel like you can't be forgiven, then Jesus Christ can forgive you. I believe just because you got on drugs doesn't mean you can't get off drugs. I believe just because you became from a dysfunctional family doesn't mean you have to have a train wreck the rest of your life. Because there is a cross, there is a resurrection, and there is a way of healing. To me, that's some good news. I'd rather be full of grace than what I say. What about you? Because Elizabeth would tell you, she could stand up and testify. What I say doesn't always work, does it, honey? Most of it does. What I say doesn't always work. JP, you've been married to your lovely bride for, you know, you've got more than a year down, don't you? Does she believe everything you say now?
I think so.
What about it, Colleen? No. Because not everything, JP. And he's smart. I mean, he can do math with alphabets and missing pieces and everything. But not everything he says is what? And not everything you say is. But everything God says is. This gets people just torqued up. You know what I mean? Here come the religious. Opposition arose. You're going to live in grace, opposition's going to arise. Hillview, we're a church in opposition to this city on some things. People don't like me. Because I'm not going to cow down. Listen, I'm not going to tell you it's right when it's not right. Even though it's not popular. I'm politically incorrect. I tell people to get a job that are healthy. The world tells them they're disabled. We probably got a disability that you have fuzz on your ear. I say, get a razor, shave it off, and go to work. And you know what there probably is? You know why a lot of you are disabled? You believe what they said. Here's grace screaming in your life, and you believe what they said. I coach a lot of kids, and I get their file. You know, the file comes into me, and they're supposed to be a bad kid. I don't even listen to their file. I want to hear what God has to say about them. And guess what God has to say about them? God says they're possible. God says they're real, and God says they can be salted with grace. People don't like that. People don't like that. Opposition arose from the synagogue, the Sanhedrin, the religious. The Jews of Asians reign. They're in opposition. How dare Stephen talk about our way? But what was Stephen really doing? He was teaching Jesus' way. As he was teaching Jesus' way, it gets in our way. You see, Jesus doesn't allow us to be prejudiced. We'd rather be prejudiced. Have you noticed that? We all prejudiced. We all got things we prefer over other things. Hello. Jesus' way interrupts our way, so no longer are we grace limited, but when we start getting in the way of Jesus, now we're full of what? Grace. You get full of grace and you get full of power. You get full of power, then you're a walking miracle. How many of y'all realize you really are a walking miracle? I know that stretches some of you too far out. You're going, what do you mean I'm a miracle? Look, somebody married you. Miracle? You have children that are beautiful. Miracle. It's a miracle. God's doing something in you that you couldn't do. What's that called? Miracle. That's a miracle.
When you start being a miracle type person, full of grace type people, I'm telling you, people are going to oppose you. Now chill out when they oppose you. You see that in the scripture there. Where did I put that iPad Bible thing? Where is it? Oh, thank you. Go on to about verse 15 there. So we get opposition. How many of y'all have been opposed before? How many of y'all have been doing the right thing, the kind thing, the loving thing, and somebody opposed you? Clay, I know that's happened in your life. You want to do the right thing. Smalley just thinks he's better than everybody else. You ever heard that? I mean, if he was the real dude, he'd live in the gutter right here with the rest of us. Let's be gutter together. For some reason, somebody put out a decree many millenniums ago that if you go to hell at a group rate, somehow or another, that's a good experience. Wrong. How many of y'all have ever seen a bunch of people at a bad restaurant? Yeah. Did it make it a good restaurant just because there were a bunch of people there? No. You don't get a volume discount. Y'all tracking what I'm telling you? Listen. God's trying to pull us into his way, and we want to fall back into our way. It's just who we are. It's the battle to mature.
Look what they said. This guy speaks against our things. They produced false witness, and they testify. This fella, or they don't even call him his name, this fella never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. Now, what was he coming against in their minds? What they held precious. When do y'all get ruffled up in sermon? How many of y'all are much more comfortable if I'm preaching about the neighbor's sin than yours? I see a lot of you then, you're like, go get them, Harris. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Especially if I'm in a Baptist church. You say something about alcohol, they all go, amen. You say something about eating too much pizza, they go, oh, no. See, going from one, I don't mind the preacher as long as he's preaching in your house, amen. It's when it gets into my house, I start, well, he shouldn't have said that. Who's he think he is? What's the Bible say, man? We get disturbed, let me tell you. For we've heard him say, this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses has handed down to us. Now listen, you want to get a group of Jews all tore up. Their man Moses. If you say anything about Moses, they just go crazy. And then you read about Moses and the Jews, and they didn't listen to him when he was here. Don't you remember Moses? He had that leadership moment. Any of you all that have been in leadership have had this moment where Moses is out in the desert and he goes, good gosh, can you get me another group of people? If you've been a mom or a dad or a wife or a husband or been in leadership in some way, I guarantee you, you've had a moment somewhere in this human journey where you've gone, can I just get another group of people? And you know why God never gives you another group of people? Does anybody know the answer to that? Because they just like the ones you lead. They're a group of what? People. But God says, wait a minute, there's a way full of grace. Well, let me tell you what they do. They call the Sanhedrin together. They go to the people in charge. Now, I don't know about you, but my family had some rules in it. Did y'all's family have any rules in it? How many of y'all grew up with brothers and sisters? Any of y'all grow up with brothers and sisters? Have the luxury, the pleasure to grow up with brothers and sisters? Mm-hmm. Did any of y'all ever have a brother or sister? Andrew, you be careful because your sister's here today. Did any of y'all have a brother or sister who was a tattletale? Mm-hmm. One of them had to follow the rules. Now, I'm not going to tell you which one in my family was a tattletale, but it's one of my sisters who has black hair who's employed at Hillview Heights Church. And she tattled. She tattled. We'd be there, you know, at dinner time. We always had dinner together as a family in the evening, dinner checkup time. And we had the rules. And there she is over there. She goes, Stephen did this. You know what? My dad believed it. He should have. Any of y'all have had a situation? Well, guess what? Breaking the rules gets people disturbed. Especially if you're Sanhedrin. Because how are they saving themselves? By the rules. This is correct, Tyler, but they're trying to. So if somebody's seeing God's grace work better than your rules, they're ready to kill you. Now, here's what's so sad in my observation, and this observation is very much subject to debate. I just don't see a big grace church anymore. I don't see a lot of grace in the churches of America. I either hear a lot of emotion or a lot of doctrine. But very little Jesus on both sides of those trees. It's more about what we say than what he is. But Stephen stands before them. Look what happens. As he's accused, he lets God speak. Now hold on just a minute. When you get accused, what should you do? Let God speak. I got my good buddy, the counselor, here today. Denny, that's hard to do, isn't it? Especially if you're a lawyer and you've been trained to do what? Dialogue. And the Sanhedrin got a lot of lawyers in it. But guess who's going to speak to them? Jesus. Jesus is not scared to speak to any of us. Stephen, full of what? Grace. As he's being accused, he begins to speak. The Sanhedrin is accused even of defacing Moses, the law, the customs of the Jews. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin began to look at him intently. How many of y'all have ever been looked at intently? Now hold on.
How many of y'all noticed you're going to be looked at intently because you follow Jesus? Isn't it amazing? Everything you do that everybody else does is judged more severely than what they do. True? I mean, if I throw a fit at a ball game, for some reason, it's more severe than my neighbor who's throwing a fit beside me that's not a preacher. In fact, somebody one day said, your preacher got all upset at the ball game. He goes, sucker hates to lose. I just told him the truth. I don't get an exempt. Watch this. I don't get to be non-human just because I follow Jesus. In fact, it makes me more human. It makes me more like a human should be. Because Jesus is the best creator of humans. Wouldn't you agree? And look what happens. Stephen, full of grace, brings grace. How many of y'all have ever had, go to verse 12 with me. Before we get to them looking intently into Stephen, they stir the people up. How many of y'all have ever had some people stir people up against you? Every female in this place ought to have your hand up because you've been in seventh grade at least once. Girls, what do y'all do? Now y'all do it on Facebook. Grown-up girls in their 50s do it on Facebook. Did you hear about so-and-so? Or can you believe she wore that? I overhear that all the time by women. Can you believe she wore that? If I was a woman, I'd be a smart aleck woman. Every woman would hate me. Especially if I still had it all going on and I overheard them. I said, baby, let me tell you why I wear that. Because I can. And let me tell you why you talking. Because you can't. But hold on. Isn't that the way we are? We get mad at people that can do what we can't do. Isn't that really why we get mad at them? Well, that's when we really get incensed, right? How many of y'all have noticed those who don't talk a lot and those who do just do it? You can always tell religious people, they just jabber, 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 jabber. What's the name of that little kid show out now that you parents would know? Was it Gabber Jabber or whatever it is? What is it? Yo Gabba Gabba. It's what the Sanhedrin, that'd be a good name for them. Yo Gabba Gabba. We're just gabbing all the time about what they think, and now they're up against what God is. Hold on, did you see the difference? What we think, what we calculate, what we intellectually formulate up against who Jesus is. Jesus wins every time. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, this fella talks about the holy places and the law. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. Guess what? That place was destroyed just like Jesus said it was. Let me tell you how bad it was destroyed. I want you to see the intensity of what happens when you don't listen. The temple was destroyed 70 AD by the Romans. The Romans, unlike the United States of America, they don't rebuild after they destroy. They destroy and leave. That's why you didn't want to get in a bad situation with the Romans, because when they destroyed you, guess what they did? They destroyed you. They didn't have a negotiation of what they were going to kill. Guess what they killed? Everything. Let me tell you how defaced it is today. You don't listen to God, let me tell you what happened. The temple no longer exists, and guess what sits on the temple? The Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock sits where the Holy of Covenant of God used to sit. And tell me what it says. The religion of the slave sits in prominence of the temple of the free God. Let me tell you what happens. When you refuse to listen to the grace of God, you'll always be a slave to your own thinking. You know what addictions are? Slavery. You know what government overreach is? It's gone on for histories. Slavery. Because inside of us, guess what happens? Inside of us, we want to be what? Free. Israel was free at one time. What did they want? You know, remember, by the way, go to Bible study, you'll know this stuff. You need better know this stuff. It's nothing new to me because I've read the Bible. Remember Israel? They were following God. Everything was cool, but they wanted to be like everybody else. What'd they want?
All had to have a king. Had to have a king, just wouldn't do to follow the principles of God. We need a king. And how did they elect the king? What was his qualifications?
He was better looking than Saul.
Some of you Bible study teachers tell me, John Paul, what was Saul's qualifications? He was tall. Guess what else he was? Tall. And guess what he did? He can find the people. Guess what God always does? Frees the people. Jesus frees us to be full of grace, and religion confines us to a systematic formula. Always. Slavery. Family. Jesus said, I've come to make you sons and daughters of the kingdom. Religion says you'll be enslaved to the principles. That's why everybody's upset. So let me tell you what, when you get an opposite, can you feel the tension? There was a lot of tension in this place. You go before the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin, bad things can happen. Who else went before the Sanhedrin? Anybody know? Tell me. Jesus. What did they do to him? They gave him a retirement watch for being such a good rabbi. They honored him with his own television rabbi show, right? He got to write his own Bible study. He got to do a YouTube video about how to change water into wine. It was a really cool video. What happened to Jesus when he went before the Sanhedrin? They killed him. Now, I got a good idea, and we're going to close on this today. When you're in opposition, guess what you need to do? You ready for this? This is really cool. Get your angel face on. Ladies, I could save y'all millions of dollars here. If you just go ahead and let your angel face come out, you can back off on some of that oil of a lamp. See how many millions of dollars people spend on creams. And listen, I don't care if you've done this or not. That's your business. But, you know, and then a lot of women get that rollback face. You know what I mean? From Walmart. They roll it back. Roll that sucker back. Y'all know what's going to happen. Somebody, something hit you upside the head, bust one of them stitches, you look like a lampshade coming down. Let me tell you what happens. Hold on, I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all looking at me like, here he goes, carrying on. No, I'm not. Look what we try to do. We try to roll things back. That's under our power. You know what God does? He rolls things heavenward. That's when we're always in opposition with God. We see what's going on now. And we want to hold on to it. And God says, I want to free you from what's going on now because I know what's going to go on later. You see, God's a now and later God. And the best we can do is what we've seen in the past and what we hope for in this present. But God says, I've seen the past and that's over. I'm in the present and it's good. And there's a glorious future coming that no one can create but God himself. And all of you who are in Christ are full of that. Now, here's what Stephen tends to do. Stephen looks at where he's headed instead of where he is. Hold on. How many of y'all need to get your angel face on? Look at this, honey. Face of an angel. Now, here's what happens to me. Sometimes when Elizabeth and I get in an argument, we get in an argument every once in a while. Because she disagrees with me. And you're right, Rosa. I did it most of the time. And so when I get in an argument, instead of putting my angel face on to Elizabeth, guess what I do? I put my demon face on. And that doesn't do what? Yeah. In my opinion, here's the problem we got politically in Washington. We don't have any angels. They're all demons. They all want what they want. That's what hell wants. Hell is when you want what you want without any regard to what God wants. And we all got our own thing. I want this. I want that. That's why we have a divorce rate that's off the hook. Because we all want what we want instead of saying, wait a minute, God, what do you want? You know what God says? I want you to chill out in the name of me. And go ahead and get your angel face on. I want to end here today. You need to get your angel face on.
That's right.
We don't have enough angel faces in the world today. Look at what they did. They looked intently into his life. They're bearing false witness. He's getting a raw deal. The facts are in. His rights are violated.
It's killed also.
Yeah, we're not that far, Tyler. Hold back now. You're getting into next week's problem. You got to hold back. Part of learning to teach is hold back, Tyler, all right? All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and guess what? They saw that his face was what? Was like the face of a what?
Angel.
That's where I want to stop this week. Guess what? When they look intently into your life, do they see that your face is like that of an angel? They will if you're full of what? But what do we like to get full of? Oh, it's a multitude of things. We're full of ourselves. We're full of our platform. We're full of our understanding. We're full of our family tradition. We're full of our geographical location. We're full of our ethnic background. We're full of just being full of. And then some of us are even just full of that, okay? I mean, we are. We're just full of all kinds of ideas. None of them have ever worked. True? But then there's those who have allowed Jesus Christ to overtake their lives. And guess what you're full of? Gary Dale Chavin, guess what you're full of? God's grace. And so Cody here, the up and coming, he gets to experience a daddy full of God's grace. Does that sound familiar? A mama full of God's grace. Guess what that'll eventually make? At least a child knows where the angels are. Hello. Jimmy and Martha, y'all went through a painful time, but guess what? There was still the face of the angel in the situation. Hello. God's that real. So I want to encourage you today. Guess what? You can't be full of grace unless you've received what? Grace. Some of y'all going, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to just try to act real good, and I'm going to behave real well, and I'm going to do some good things, and, you know, go do some good moral things, and I'll be full of what? Grace. No, you won't. You'll be full of some good moral things. You have to receive grace. So watch this. This is the cool thing about grace. Let me see if I can explain it. Right now, as I am speaking, guess what? Some of you are going, wait, I need that. That's the Holy Spirit. Let that connect with you. I mean, if you feel something, hear something, something's going, wait a minute, you need that? Well, that's not me. Guess who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ telling you, you got to realize you're a sinner. Now, here's what I'm discovering today. Used to, when I preached, everybody was they would come to understanding, David, that they were a sinner. Today, nobody's a sinner. Well, Pastor Ayers, I'm not a sinner. I have a medical condition. My DNA's out of order. My therapist told me this was caused by my dog when I was 2 years old falling off my kitty car. Now, let me just tell y'all something. If y'all can believe that crap, why can't you believe Jesus Christ died for your soul? I mean, we got people that'll put a marble up their nose in the name of psychology to heal their mind. And you all call me insane. And they look at me and go, well, you believe in the invisible man. I said, no. I believe in the visible man. His name is Jesus. And I've seen his face on your face, in your face, in your face, in your face. Max, he's even been on your face.
That's scary.
That's crazy. Jesus is Santa Claus. Mad Max like an angel. Hold on. Now, Max, that really makes a lot of sense. If everybody had been to Bible study and really understood angels, there's some angels you don't want to mess with. See, y'all think angels are like the tooth fairy. They're not. No. There's another group of angels. They're called warring angels. Wilson, they probably look a lot more like you. They got long hair, big biceps, and will help reorient your life. See, some of you don't want to deal with that side of God. You're like, well, God doesn't act like that. Go read the Bible. He does. Yeah. I know that just busts some of you hippies who just want to take another ride on the magical balloon and let Puff the Magic Dragon pull you forward. But when we come down to reality land, there is the wrath of God, the grace of God. And right now, guess what God likes to pour out? The grace of God. There'll be a time, it's called a final judgment, and that's when the wrath of God will be poured out, but not upon those who are filled with the what? What about you? You filled with the grace of God? There's some of you today that need to say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life, forgive me of my what? We open you up to that. Baptism, listen, we won't be wide open. We're going to have big baptism service next Sunday and this Wednesday night and the next one after that, next one after that. And if we get to still be here, we're going to do it after that. And we're going to do it at Barren River Lake. And we're just going to keep doing it until Jesus comes back. Y'all okay with that? So I need y'all to go like be missionaries. I love that y'all are in Haiti, man. I'm absolutely excited about that. Did you realize that we probably have just as many people in Bowling Green, Kentucky going to hell as all the people you saw in Haiti? It's even worse on them. You know why? You know why, JP? They
They go, I don't know Jesus. I got air conditioning. I don't need Jesus. I got instant food. I don't need Jesus. Man, I got some new kicks on. I don't need Jesus. I got a new shirt. I got a new dance. I got a new drink. I got a new way. Guess what? You can occupy your mind for a long time in America till you finally come to the realization you're a sinner in the need of God's grace. God loves the world every bit of it, all places. So you know what? I kind of look at it like this. Right now, I do my main ministry where I am, and I'm concerned about everywhere else. But the best ministry I do is to people that speak English, because that's the only language I know how to speak real well. And you know what I figure out? I speak English long enough, that gospel's eventually going to get somebody that speaks Haitian and speaks Chinese and speaks all kinds of languages, and it'll be like Costa Rica. We never did a little church future plan to start a church in Costa Rica. We met a guy that was on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ that God had called to preach the gospel, and through that connection of preaching the gospel in Bowling Green, Kentucky, we end up in Cartago, Costa Rica. Oh, by the way, they baptized about 15 people last week. Y'all give Jesus Christ a hand for that. And then you say, now, Garrett, some people say, well, big deal, it's only 15 baptisms. I believe every one of them's a big deal, even though that's not cool to keep up with anymore. You know, it's better to give some kind of doctoral cool insight if you're going to be in a group. If you got spiked hair and a hemp necklace and can do doctoral insights now, that's ministry. Because you're grooving. And I go, how come y'all don't grow? Well, we don't believe in growth. Well, good, at least you said it correctly. You don't believe in growth. But the problem you have is, Jesus does. I had some of these young pastors, they said, Jesus started out with a small group. I go, really? 3,000? That's small, you guys? Y'all ever like read the Bible? Mark Driscoll didn't write the Bible. Jesus did. Joel Osteen didn't write it. George Washington didn't write it. Billy Graham didn't write it. Charles Stanley didn't write it. Some of y'all hold your seat. John Calvin didn't write it. John Wesley didn't write it. Aristotle didn't write it. Plato didn't write it. Einstein did not write it. Some of you ladies hold your seat. Oprah did not write it. Some of y'all, that's unbelievable. She did old magazines. She didn't do Word of God. There's the Word of God, and guess what it says? Anybody in here today that will repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and believe and know that He is the Son of God shall not perish but will have what? Life. How many of y'all still believe that good old-fashioned message? Receive Him and live. There's one way to heaven. You better get full of grace. So two things today I hope you get. If you haven't received Jesus, receive Him today. Cool deal? You go, you think I should be saved today? No. Heck, I'd wait till tomorrow. Why do people do that? Here's what they tell me. Pastor Steve, next week I'm going to get saved. So if I gave you a 7-day vacation to hell, you'd be all excited about that. Here's what you're actually saying. I'd like to stay in hell another couple of months before I surrender my life to a better way. Does that make any sense? Me either. But listen, I got a friend. I got a lot of friends. They ain't got a lick of sense. I didn't used to have any sense either. My friends tell me, I'll tell you what, Pastor Steve, when I straighten my life up, you heard this one, Klein? I hear a bunch from our buddies. Now listen, I'm going to straighten up. Which really, that's just a code word. I got to cut my beer consumption down. That's what that really means. Especially on Baptists, because they think I don't think they drink. The Catholics cannot drink all that's drunk in the United States of America. They got some Church of Christ and Baptist helping them out along the way. And they get all tore up about that. You know, it's about Jesus. If you come to Jesus, He's straightening the rest of the stuff out. Does that make sense? Right? How many of y'all, that happened to you? Yeah, if you come to Jesus. Now, here's what's so sad. Guess who blocks people from Jesus more than anybody? Religious people. Yeah. If you're a Baptist, God doesn't care. If you're a Methodist, God's not impressed. If you're a Presbyterian, guess what? God got there before you did. You know, they believe everything's predestined. If you're a Church of Christ, and you're so proud that you don't have a piano, God's not impressed. If you go to Hillview Heights Church and you think we got to shoot fog to make worship happen, God's not impressed. Hey, I pick on us too. We do stupid stuff here too. Amen. Listen, if you're offended, stick around. I try to offend everybody before the day's over. I want everybody offended. You know, if you're a Cardinal fan, be offended. If you're a UK fan, be offended. If you're a Hilltopper fan, right on. So, you know, you gotta do this. Listen, let me tell you how loving this church is. We even let Notre Dame fans in here. Yeah. All are welcome to what? The grace of God. And let me finish on this. Some of you right now need to come to this altar and receive Christ. And let me tell you what the rest of us need to do. And it's going to be tough. Troy, this is tough. How many of y'all ready to get your angel face on when opposition comes? I had to preach this today. I wish I could tell y'all, man, I wish one of these days I'm going to be able to say, and with integrity, I was willing to get my angel face on. But you know what I want to do most of the time? I get in opposition, man. I hear the music in the background. Everybody was kung fu fighting. And Leonard Bailey, I do, man. I'm in my mind. I'm ready. Bring it on. I mean, if you oppose me, I want to what? No, I don't fight. Steve Klein, I've been demoralized for years after you beat us 48-7 my senior year. I still remember that. That's not a loss. That's a demoralization. I still remember it. And I always wonder what hope it would give me. I mean, I remember asking the Lord. I mean, you're 18. You ask the Lord stupid things when you're 18. I remember walking off the field. I mean, we were beat beat. I remember going, all right, Lord, what am I supposed to learn from that? I could hear the Holy Spirit whisper, you can't play football. God's pretty practical. I mean, I've asked God before, God, why did we lose? He said, because you can't tackle. Pretty practical God. Pretty real. But you know, I wonder why that happened. But you know what? My dear friend, Brady Murder, I watched Brady grow up in the church. Brady's a little kid. He grew up in the church. And his senior year, he got beat by the same high school, 48-7. Brady came off the field. He's all tore up. And I looked and I said, Brady, let me tell you something. They beat me by the same score they beat you. I married a beautiful wife. I got two kids, man. I can eat and I got a place to sleep. And life has gone on. And even though right now it seems like, you know, it's just over, guess what? You survive after this great loss. I said, wow. Those are moments for just a moment you get to be the face of a what? Angel. So I'm going to ask the rest of you that don't know Jesus, those who've never met Jesus, not full of grace, you come and get full of grace, okay? Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins. Now, for the rest of us that are already full of grace, what's our real challenge? Come on, we need to get some angel face on. I'm telling you right now. I know we like angel cake. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about angel face. That when we get in opposition, man, people may see the reality of Jesus in our lives versus our own stuff. And that's tough. Because as much as we think we dislike the Sanhedrin, you know why I dislike the Sanhedrin? Because they hold a mirror up to my life. Because there's a lot more times I want to get the Bible out and expose everybody to the verses that I'm aware of than I do want to get the cross out and let Jesus crucify my wicked ways. I found it's a lot easier to quote verses than it is to live crosses. I found it's a whole lot easier to talk about being humble and living a humble life. I've also found this too. It's a lot easier to talk about sacrifice as long as you've never done it. It's a whole lot easier to talk about somebody else's ministry if you haven't walked in their shoes. Everybody looks at people like Bill Hybels, and I bet y'all never knew this. Bill Hybels sold vegetables on the street of Chicago for 24 months to support himself so he could preach the gospel. That's the big corporate megachurch pastor. But he's 22 when he did that. Those are things to do at 22. If you're still doing them at 52, it's because you ain't got no sense. You didn't grow. You didn't connect. I'm glad that Bill Hybels' ministry went beyond selling vegetables on the streets of Chicago to actually spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ down a lot of streets in Chicago. And you go, well, he didn't reach anybody. There's 13 million people up there, folks. That's four states of Kentucky in one city. That's a lot of people. You know what? There are a lot of people in Warren County. I don't know about a lot of people. Here's what I want to challenge you to today. How many of y'all got somebody you need to be the face of an angel to this week? You already know it. You already got somebody at work that's mad at you. You got somebody in opposition. I don't have to think very hard. Most people are mad at me. Because I say things like this. Get a job. Those are unpopular things in the United States of America. People go, Pastor Harris, you don't understand my situation. I go, yeah, I do. You're lazy. I understand it. That's why you're mad at me. I done read your email. I mean, we got males in America. Big, strong males that will not go to work. Folks, we got a nation where 48% of the people don't pay taxes here anymore. And some of y'all going, what's the matter with that? Well, guess what? Eventually, when a majority of people don't do what God asked them to do, then everybody falls apart together. Time to roll. Time to look at ourselves. Time to be the face of an angel in the midst of what? What do angels do? I'm going to end on this and I'll be quiet. Cheryl, guess what? I have searched the scriptures and I tried to find an example of an angel sending out petition and protest papers.
Dave?
No accounts of angels carrying picketing signs to the Roman nation and all their immorality. Wonder where we got that idea. Because it makes us feel powerful. You know what angels do? Let me see if I can do it. They fly out of the heavenly host and they go, unto you today a Savior is born. You'll find him wrapped up in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger in a little town called Bethlehem. Go and rejoice. You know what angels do? Sing out of heaven. I wonder if we got a little more angel in us instead of us in us, if the world might listen a little better. If on Sunday mornings we sang as we were singing from heaven, and when we were in opposition, we looked as if we had been there, if that might make a better difference than just say no. Maybe we ought to say yes, Lord, and see what happens. Amen. Y'all been great today. Give yourselves a hand for listening to the Holy Spirit. I hope you've learned some today. You've been more than wonderful. You've been more than wonderful. Young people, thanks again. Thanks for being here at church. I just want you to know that I get to go, ha, 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 ha. Y'all ought to listen up because all these people are trying to tell me your lost generation going to hell. You know, I get in arguments with people my age with gray hair. And I said, they're not all going to hell. I preach to full of grace people on Sunday morning and they're in their 20s. And they got sense and they got jobs and they got worth ethic. And y'all are doing a misread on this generation. And they happen to publish things in magazines. And I said, y'all are bearing false witness. I said, I'm seeing God raise up this generation. Now, you know what the baby boomers are mad about? God couldn't do it with them because it's hard to get servants who live in hot tubs. You know what I mean? I mean, it'd been hard for the pioneers to make it off the Cumberland Gap if they had to have a therapist in a hot tub. That's my generation. If y'all are soft, it's because we started it. Now, you all know who's not soft. That's your grandparents, aren't they? Grandparents all wrinkled up. And they got the face of a what? Angel. Live a life close to Jesus, you'll get a face of the angel. My wife's got a face of an angel. She really does. Elizabeth's full of grace all the time. I'm not full of grace all the time. She is full of grace all the time. I'm full of grace and then I get full of me. And when I get full of me, she puts me outside on a chain. And when I decide to repent, she unchains me and brings me back in the house. You know what I want her to be married to? Full of grace. Does that make sense today? Let's stand together. Y'all been wonderful. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, it's been a great day. It's been a wonderful day. It always is a good day because you're in every day. Lord, I pray right now for the salvation of those who don't have it.
Believers in Jesus Christ, begin to pray with me right now at this altar. God wants to have a time of ministry here today. And so if you all will just pray together, please pray. Those of you that are believers, don't blow this time off. Pray right now that the Holy Spirit would begin to speak as it has been speaking clearly to those that don't have a relationship with Jesus that have gathered here today. Now listen to the Holy Spirit. If God's telling you you need to come forward and ask Him to forgive you, then come forward. Or ask Him right there in your chair. It doesn't matter where you ask Him. Location's not important, but repentance is. Lord Jesus, tell Him, I am a sinner. And I've not only sinned against my friends and my family, but most of all, God Almighty, I've sinned against You. And all of us that are believers, we need to hear this again too. We sinned against the Almighty God that we worship today. But He was so full of grace. He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross that whoever in this room believes shall not perish. Whosoever. I don't care if you are green, yellow, purple, combination, black, white, Hispanic, Caucasian, from Australia, Arizona, Richardsville, or Rwanda. God loves you. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Come on, there's people that need to hear that right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my what? If the Lord's bringing you forward, come on forward. Don't wait on me. Don't wait on the music. Just come on as I speak. Come on, guys. And there's some of you today, you've been in opposition and you've been fighting things for a long time. It may be a marriage. It may be a wayward child. It may be an addiction. It may be whatever it is. Guess what? There's the face of an angel waiting to come out of you on your situation. I'm telling the truth today. I'm telling the truth today. So I'm going to ask you to quit fighting and surrender to the grace of God that's in you, that you might be full of grace. Because when you're full of grace, then you're full of hope. And when you're full of hope, you're full of possibilities. And then as you begin to understand that and mature in that, and God begins to bring you to consciousness of that, then guess what? Some really radical scripture starts coming to life. Everything is possible. Amber, anything is possible for those who follow Christ Jesus as their Lord. Now, that's either true or false, and I believe it to be true. I'm living and anything's possible. And everything crazy could happen. Because I just finished preaching a sermon today. And I promise you, nobody had me scripted down as a preacher boy. But anything is possible, being when you get full of what? Grace and Spirit. So come on, this altar's being opened up. There's people coming right now to be baptized. There's people coming to be freed. There's people coming to be healed. Come on, let's have an altar. Don't hold it back today. I feel the Holy Spirit in here, and there's a tension in here. That's okay. That's just part of God's work. You know, if you were baptized as a baby, man, that's cool. But guess what? Why don't you confirm that as an adult? That guess what? Yes, my parents wanted me to receive Jesus. I have received Jesus, and I give testimony to that today. I give testimony to that today. Come on, God's looking for His witnesses. He's looking for His faithful. He's looking for those who have the face of an angel. Lord Jesus, fill us with Your grace in this moment, Your healing power, Your possibilities, Your truth, Your hope. Lord, right now, don't let us step aside, but let us step forward heavenward into You, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let Him minister in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.